Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
Extended church family and good chunk of regular family. Actually, I'm not sure. Hold on. Those two, that's about it. That's not that's about it. That's not actual blood. It's the blood of Jesus. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's good to see you all out here tonight. I'm going to give you a little bit of... So this message has been hanging out in my head for well over a month. And My title today, well, it's been the title of quite a few Facebook statuses that I've seen in my time. And I'm going to give you this preface. It's nothing to do with anyone in the room. Well, at least no physical person. It's nothing to do with any physical person in the room. It's been hanging out in my head for a good month. And then it registered into this title a couple weeks back. And really, a good chunk of the notes came out here. This is a good chunk of the notes. I put them a little more streamlined. But Brother Matt, Brother Texas, my dad will probably recognize my note material here. Good old Joe Leisure and Son scrap paper. So just keep all this in mind. Now, I have a single verse of scripture for my opening text, and then I will let you guys sit down. So if you would, please stand. I'm going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 19, verse number 30. And it's probably words that sound familiar if you are familiar with the story of Jesus at all. This is the words of Jesus. In fact, it was Jesus' last words before he came back. It was Jesus' last words before he died. John 19, verse number 30. And it simply says this. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. If you would, let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for everything that you've said. I thank you for your awesome, holy, righteous power, God. You are the mighty God. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. You are my Savior, my Redeemer, my Healer, my God. My God, my God, I love you, Lord Jesus. If you would, please let your words come out today. Not my own, not let this be the words of you. Let this be your words, Lord. I pray that you would anoint me, that you would help me to speak the words that you alone can truly say, God. Help this not to be just a word that's heard, but a word that's received, and a word that we do, and that we would change, transform, and that we would become something the devil is terrified of, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in this place. It is said that churches have people, therefore they have problems. Because people have problems. By being people, we have these things called personalities. And certain personalities just don't get along with other types of personalities. It's just a simple truth of human nature that we don't naturally get along. But I dare say that's not completely true. I dare say it's not completely true that people have personalities that cause problems. No, people's personalities is not the cause of our problems. People's DNA is not the cause of our problems. The problem of humanity all boils down to a three-letter word. Sin. Thank you, Pastor Orton, number two in the house. It is sin. He is the older brother. He's been pastor longer, but around here, it's these folks would recognize this as number one. Yes. So sin is our problem. And experience speaks that it's truth that people bring problems when they just get together. My personal experience, how many church services have you left in your time? Maybe you're just some wonderful, godly, holy person that is just naturally imbued with the power to never have had this experience. But I have left church services mad at people before. Sometimes I feel like I have a good reason. Most of the time I feel like I have a good reason. It's just whether or not I feel like I have a good reason 24 hours later. Or even 2 weeks later. When the brain catches up to the rest of the body. The heart catches up to the rest of the body. I don't know. God's spirit catches up to the rest of the body. One of those things. Or maybe just pastor comes and says, you're wrong. I've had that a few times too. But I've left a lot of services mad. Sometimes it's just because I preached a pretty good message and no one responded. Sometimes it's because my sister sung the house down, but no one responded. Sometimes it's because someone was rude to somebody, and I just felt like they really shouldn't have done that to a visitor. Sometimes someone is just being lazy and not helping out and serving and helping in the church. And sometimes I just disagree with your point of view. Sometimes it's just silly stuff that I really shouldn't be mad over. Just some little annoying thing that the youth group has decided they need to do now. Some stupid trend, something like that. But I'm just going to tell you the simple truth. Whether I'm mad at one of our lovely youth group members, whether I'm mad at my fellow youth leaders, otherwise known as my brother-in-law and sister. It's happened a few times. Whether I'm mad at my mom or my dad. Whether I'm angry at one of you lovely folks from Truth Apostolic. It's happened sometimes. I'm sorry. We gotta remember one simple truth. Ephesians 6:12 says this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world. We wrestle against high places. The enemy is not people. You are not my enemy. Amen. Bobby, you're not my enemy.
Come on, that's right.
Even, guess what? Even the person that you like the least in this building, please don't point fingers, is not your enemy.
Amen.
Tristan, you're not your enemy either.
That's right.
You're not your own enemy. You're not your own enemy. Your enemy is known as the devil.
Amen. That's right.
That's what his name means, by the way. That's what Satan means. Satan actually is not a name. Satan is a title.
That's right.
Satan is not his name. Satan is the thing. The proper way to say it is actually the Satan.
Wow. Oh, come on.
Because Satan just means adversary, enemy. He is the accuser of the brethren. Right. He is your accuser. He's the one who's standing before God day and night saying, they are a sinner, 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 dirty, rotten sinner that deserves to go to hell.
Amen.
That's what he's doing up in heaven the whole time. And in fact, what he wants to do, what he wants more than anything else in the world, is for you to leave church mad tonight.
Amen. Yeah.
He wants you to leave church sad tonight.
Yeah.
He wants you to leave church upset at somebody, someone, anything. He wants you to leave this building hopeless tonight. If he doesn't get you mad at someone else, he'll try to get you upset at your own self, Tristan. He'll try to get you upset at your own self, Bobby. He'll get you upset at your own personal inner thoughts and feelings and think, man, I'm just a failure. I'm hopeless. There's no way that I'm ever going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no way that I'm ever going to be able to live this thing right. There's no way that I'm ever going to make it. And he will get you mad at yourself, at someone else, upset, sad, just thinking, man, I really just... You know, if only I had the life Texas had, maybe I could actually be a preacher. But I am hopeless like I am. I'm not even going to begin to tell you what's wrong with that sentence. Guess what? Most of these people in here that you think have lived such perfect, wonderful lives are actually living the way they are in spite of it. Anyone in this place... Anyone in this place want to agree with me on that note? If you're questioning any of that, go check out Brother Matt's channel on YouTube and just go check out what some of these wonderful, mighty Christians that you see preach the gospel have actually been through. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8 says this: be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, he is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. So I'm going to get to my title now. It's just this. I'm done. I've told you I've seen the Facebook posts that say this before. And most of the time they're directed in the way I opened up my message. I'm done with all those folks at Harvest House that just pretend to be righteous and holy. Oh, yeah. I'm done with those bunch of hypocritical this and that, with those bunch of bratty, whiny kids, with that bunch of this or whatever else you want to say. I'm done with those so-called Christians. I'm done with those people who say they're one thing, but they act like another thing. I'm done with these people who think they're righteous, but they are so not righteous.
Come on.
That's what I typically see.
Yeah.
But as I said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Amen.
You're not here to wind up in a fist fight in the parking lot.
Amen.
You're not here to wind up going on a Facebook rant, a Snapchat rant, or whatever else you want to go on and accuse somebody else. That's not why we're here. We're not here for that. We are here to fight the real enemy. I'm done. Here's what I'm done with. I'm done fighting people. I'm done walking out of this place mad. I'm done with arguments and debates.
Come on.
I'm done with hopelessness.
Amen.
I'm done saying, well, depression's just something I'm going to have to deal with. I'm done saying that we're just going to have people walk out of here not being healed. I'm done saying that it's pointless to try to live this life when no one wants to live it. I'm done saying that this church is going under. I'm done saying that this is the end. I'm done with that. It's time to fight the real enemy in this place. This city is not your enemy. Those outside this church are not your enemy. Politicians are not your enemy. I'm going to really mess with your heads. Racist people are not your enemy. Hardcore social justice warriors are not your enemy. People who disagree with you are not your enemy. Your enemy is not your enemy. The person you think's your enemy, the person you can't seem to forgive, your dad is not your enemy. Your mom is not your enemy. Your brother, your sister, they're not your enemy. Your enemy is the devil. He is the... And if you think, but so-and-so's an absolute horrible sinner and this and that. Yeah, you're right, they are. But... There is one thing Gandhi got right when he said, love the sinner, hate the sin. Sin, the one who has brought sin into this world, that's your enemy. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We have to be able to fight the way he fights. I don't mean underhanded. I don't mean dirty. I don't mean lying. I don't mean cheating and stealing. I mean spiritually fight. Because it's going to do you no good to hold a long, drawn-out argument. But man, we're so good at it, aren't we? Long, drawn-out arguments. That's not the way to win this fight. No matter how expertly put together and well-researched your Facebook post may be, it's not going to win the battle. In fact, there are people... I mean, I've seen these televised debates. We've all seen them, right? You may not have seen it, but you search some of our apostolic preachers, you'll find links to their Oneness Trinity debates. And their, my dad recently binged a few different creation versus evolution debates. That's not how we win the fight. It's kind of hard to admit it because we want to prove the point. But honestly, the real truth of the matter, I heard an apologist put it this way. He said, atheism is not a head problem. Because you can give them all the evidence in the world. You're not going to change anyone's mind until God pricks their heart. That's the key that brought the revival in Acts chapter 2. Peter was preaching an awful long time before it finally said. Peter had been preaching a long time, but it took until we read the verse. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That's when Peter finally said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not till we get to that point that we get any sort of the revival victory that we're looking for. So I repeat, it does you no good to argue. It does you no good to fight. And yes, this hurts me just as much as it hurts you to say, because man, sometimes it's just so satisfying to say those words. Sometimes it's just so satisfying to throw a little jab in there. It feels so good, don't it? Up until the next day when you realize, dude, I messed up. That's going to do way more harm than it ever did good. Satan wants you to argue.
Amen. Come on. Perfect flesh against flesh. Come on.
Satan wants you to argue. He wants you riled up. He wants you fighting. There's that verse in James. He says, where are these wars and fightings coming from? Come they not even of your lust that war in your members? That's an issue, guys. That's not good words. Your wars and your fightings, they come from lust. And lust is a work of the flesh, y'all. It's a sin. It's a problem. We can't be having that. We can't be doing that. So let's just give you a picture of who your enemy is. Now I've heard it said this way, man. Satan's just so stupid. He thinks he's gonna win. He really thinks he's gonna win this thing. He really thinks he stands a chance. He really thinks he can do this. Satan's just so dumb. That ain't true. The devil's not dumb. Some of the smartest people in the world are led by the devil. Some of the dumbest people in the world are led by Jesus.
Amen.
Shoo. And I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just saying uneducated people can be a whole lot more holy than the smart people of the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
The uneducated middle of the sticks farmer, full of the Holy Ghost. Yet there's the super educated atheist led by the devil. Intelligence is not how this battle is won. Amen. But here is one issue with that. The devil is smart.
Yeah.
Here's why. He's got a PhD in Y-O-U.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been studying you your whole life.
Yeah.
All of your life, from the moment of your birth till right here, right now. He saw when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. He saw when you were baptized in Jesus' name. But he also saw when you lied to your mama when you were 5 years old. He also saw the moment. He's like, okay, so he fell for that at five. Let's try it again. I heard one preacher put it this way. He said, the devil's not going to tempt me with crack cocaine. Because I'm a preacher who's not doing any of that mess. He's going to go for what's made me trip up in the past. On the other hand, I'm sure there's probably someone in this room that he could probably attempt that on. There's someone in this room he could attempt that on, but he's not going to attempt it on me because I've not even done so much as go near that in my lifetime. I don't have that desire. He trips me up in different ways. I'm not trying to paint myself as some superhero. I'm just saying the devil's smart. He's not going to try something on you that don't make sense. So, what chance do we stand now? Since he's a whole lot smarter than the smartest person in this room. He's been working on people since the dawn of time. So, here's another thing. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? You've made him just a little lower than the angels. Satan is an angel. Translation, Satan is a little bit more powerful than people. Yes, the devil's more powerful than you. He's not some wimp. He's not some weakling. He's more powerful than you. He's able to disguise himself as an angel of light. He's able to make the bad look good and the good look bad. We read his first encounter with a person where he uses his intelligence, his power, his sneakiness in Genesis chapter 3 when he walks up to Eve and he gets her to think that God is actually out to get her and deprive her of something good.
Come on, that's good.
So no, on... You are actually, as a human, all alone. Just your average human being, no matter how smart you are, no matter how dumb you are. No matter how educated or uneducated. No matter if you've got street smarts or not. You are actually, as a human being, hopeless. Because you see, the devil is a lot smarter than you. He's a lot tougher than you. And he can do a lot of stuff you can't do. The devil can actually do miracles.
Come on.
The devil can do signs and wonders just like Jesus. He's a spiritual being. He knows stuff that no one else knows about you.
Come on.
He knows the thoughts running through your head. He knows a lot of things. But we got it. But Genesis chapter 3 is a whole lot different from the opening of the Gospels. The devil has another encounter with a human in a desert. Here's a slight difference between Eve and this guy. This guy has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. This guy is, he's got this other thing going for him. He's Jesus. The devil walks up, and we get one more advantage over Eve here. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And he responds with what Eve attempted to respond. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. Eve attempted to quote the Bible, but quoted it wrong.
Yep.
So, Jesus knew his Bible. Well, he did have one slight advantage, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He wrote the book. He told them to... He gave him a few more temptations, and he kept on responding. It is written, it is written, it is written. And let me just give you one more advantage. The devil walks away from this fight, and he's like, how did that guy do that? The devil just had his first encounter with a Holy Ghost-filled person. A body full of the Holy Ghost. Fully God, fully man. His first encounter. See, here's the difference with Satan and you. Here's the difference. Satan is powerful. But a Holy Ghost filled person is filled with the one who has all power.
Yeah.
Satan is smart, crafty, intelligent. But you, as a Holy Ghost filled person, have inside of you an omniscient, all-knowing, only wise God living on the inside. So yes, you as a human on your own are going to fail. You are going to fall to sin. You are destined to die and go to hell. Unless we decide, I'm done living this way.
Amen.
I'm never doing that again. I'm never turning that way again. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change. I'm done living this way. I'm done being complacent. I'm done doing the same old stuff day in and day out. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Now, I know. I've been around here a little while now. I've been going to this church for 17 years. I've been dealing with this city for 17 years. I've been dealing with the people in the city for 17 years. So I know a little bit about what's dealt with around here. I know this place deals with spirits of perversion. I know this place deals with lying spirits. I know this place deals with spirits of pride. I know that this place deals with the spirit of heaviness. I know this place deals with a whole lot of spirit of bondage.
Come on.
I know that. I know what we're up against. I know there's idolatry. I know there's witchcraft, probably, for sure, because it's for sure, actually. I know that all this stuff goes on. I know some of what we're dealing with around here. I know the devils that we're fighting. But I know this. My God is more powerful than anything. You can repent. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. But here's where we've seen this go wrong. Jesus put it this way. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks around in desert places. But then he gets this itching inside of him. I'm going to go check out my old house. That means you. He calls you his property. He thinks you're his property. You kicked him out, but he's going to try and come back. And if he comes back and sees your life empty, unfilled, swept clean, but not filled with anything new, it says, hey, let's come on in and let's throw a party. I'm going to bring some of my devil friends with me. And it says, in the end, the state of that man is worse than he was at first. And I've seen that happen. Do you know how many people we've had come through our doors? Pastor talked about it on Sunday. We've had well over 100 people come into this church and be baptized in the name of Jesus. I think the number was close to 200. I'm not sure. But simply put, this church at this moment does not have over 100 Holy Ghost filled people in it. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not sure that it ever has, for sure. Because the number of people baptized and the number of people filled with the Holy Ghost are not the same number. There's an issue with that. Because you see this. It said, here's how it goes. You repent, you kick the devil out. You get baptized in the name of Jesus, you wash the place clean. But if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to replace the old thing. So you can have a spirit of perversion come back. You can have a spirit of bondage come back and fall back into the same old addictions. You can have that spirit of pride come back and make you think you're all this wonderful thing when truly you are not. You are blind and naked. You can have all those same spirits of idolatry, wickedness, witchcraft come back tenfold worse than it ever was before. That's why this thing doesn't stick. Because we've got to move past the works of the flesh and into the fruit of the Spirit. But you cannot have the fruit of something you don't have. You cannot have the fruit of the Spirit if you've not been filled with the Spirit. It is possible to live a life of love and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is possible to live a joyful life and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is possible to be peaceful and not have the Holy Ghost. It is possible to have any single one of the fruit of the Spirit and not have the Holy Ghost. But you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit.
Amen. Come on.
You can have temporary little bits here and there. Little flashes of, man, he's such a happy person. Most likely, he's such a faker. That's the tendency. So simply put, if we ever want to be done with this thing, and that's the decision we have to make, that we're done with the same old way that things have always been, we have to be done. We have to make our mind up. We have to set our heads like flint, and we have to run in the direction of Jesus. But it's not going to work if we only white-knuckle it. It's not going to work on your own strength. You are not powerful enough to beat this thing. That's the thing we have to know. I am not powerful enough to beat this thing on my own. You are not powerful enough to beat this thing with you and Pastor bound together. You're not powerful enough to beat this thing with you and every person in this church tied up together with you. You're not powerful enough to beat this thing with human power.
Yes, amen.
Guess what? You can break an addiction by human power. You can break an addiction by human power. You can overcome your pride by human power. You can become a more humble person through the power of therapy and maybe a few good drugs. Medicine, that's what I mean. I mean drugs from drugstore. I'm not abusing them. That's what I'm talking about. By the power of therapy and a few good mental health medicines here and there, you can overcome some stuff. You can become a better person. You can read all the self-help books. You can do this and that. And by the eyes of this world, you are a successful, wonderful human to be around. But you're not going to beat the devil that way.
Amen.
You can white knuckle it. You can overcome suicide and this and that. But you're not beating the devil that way.
Amen.
you're going to have something that's going to make you still be a sinner. But we have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The overcoming power is the Holy Ghost. The overcoming power is being filled with the Spirit. The overcoming power is this. You see, we go through the works of the flesh. It's in Galatians chapter 5. You know that? You've heard some of them? The works of flesh are manifest and are these. I'm going to try to actually read this because I don't want to miss it out. Galatians chapter 5. Starting in verse number 19. The works of the flesh are manifest and are these. This is sin. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. This is not a comprehensive list. This ain't everything. There is still more that fits this subcategories and etc. and things not yet mentioned. Maybe some things not yet invented. At the time of the list. I've told you before, and I told you in time past, they which do such things aren't going to heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Notice that said flesh. That didn't say spirit. That didn't say that was your spiritual enemy. That says that's your human tendency thanks to sin. There's a whole nother level that you're dealing with besides your own human tendencies. That's the reason you can overcome those things. Because it's flesh. But there's a whole nother level that comes when we talk spirit. You can overcome this by white knuckling. You can overcome this by some good therapy. You can overcome this. But you can't overcome the spiritual battle that's come up against you. You've got so much more than your flesh to deal with. See, Adam and Eve dealt with flesh by covering themselves up with fig leaves. They were not naked anymore, but they were still sinful. In the temple, in the tabernacle, in the days of Moses, the law helped them to overcome flesh. Living out that law, they could live the letter of the law, but it didn't fix the inside spiritual condition. They had to call on the Spirit of God through sacrifice, through fastings, through stuff like that. And now, in our modern day and age, we have people who try to overcome spiritual things by fleshly means. And it just don't work. We've got to be done. We've got to fight this thing the way that it's meant to be fought. We got a devil that's out to get us. And we like to pretend that we are dealing with our own self. Here's how it looks when you pretend the devil isn't the devil. Man, I just got to get over my addiction. No, you need to be delivered from a spirit of bondage. Man, I just, my depression's hitting me again. You're dealing with a spirit of heaviness. Man, I just got this anger problem. And man, I just seem to get sick every Thursday night. There's this thing called the spirit of infirmity. that likes to leave you come Friday morning. Man, we like to pretend it's not the devil. It's just, you know, it's just me, man. It's just life. Sometimes life is just life, but a whole lot of times it's not. You are under attack from an enemy, and you don't know how to fight it because you refuse to deal in spiritual terms. We have an adversary, the devil. He's like a roaring lion, and he's ready to devour. So, how on earth do we deal with it? You know, it feels like it's just another Sunday school passage we learn and do and this and that. But there's so much to it. This is how you fight the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Guess what? That's actually the follow-up to the first verse I read today. Not the John 19, the other first verse I read, the second verse I read today, I guess. This is the follow-up. Take unto you the whole armor of God. The verse before says this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
So, take unto you the whole armor of God. Does anyone know what the armor of God is?
Oh, yeah.
I think a few of you all know.
Yeah.
You learned about it in Sunday school. They probably have this picture of a medieval knight up on the wall.
Yeah.
They might have made you wear a suit of armor. We did that a couple times around here.
Yeah.
You seen the little picture of such and such? I actually had a Bible that showed it as a superhero suiting up. But the whole armor of God. Why? So you will stand when the evil day comes. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore. I done heard stand three times there. In other words, it's going to be real easy to sit down. So you got to stand. It's going to be easy to sit down and just take it. But that's what we got to be done with, is just taking it. It's time to quit just taking suicidal thoughts. It's time to quit just taking anger. It's time to quit just taking unforgiveness. It's time to quit just taking hatred. It's time to quit just taking it when someone comes up sick. It's time to quit just taking it when something that just seems like it's always one thing after another. It's stand.
Amen.
Have your loins girt about with truth.
Amen.
As Pilate said, what is truth?
Right.
Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Here's what's supposed to hold everything together. It's supposed to hold everything together in your life. Having your loins girt about with truth. The thing that ties everything together is supposed to be the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah.
If you know it to be true, that's what holds everything together in your life.
Right.
And having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Amen.
It's so easy to just die to unrighteousness. This is where your vital organs hang out, this breastplate area.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get hit by something and it just make you fall. But if we can cling to the righteousness of God, that's the next thing. You need to know the truth. You need to be able to be righteous.
Come on.
Have on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Everywhere you walk. You know, it says, have your steps ordered by the Lord. We need to make sure that in prayer, we're saying, God, I want your word leading my steps.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, before it said truth, which is the word of God, yes, correct. But now it's saying preparation of the gospel.
Come on.
You need to be prepared every day.
Every day. Come on.
You need to do what it takes to be prepared. And above all, if you don't get anything else down, get this. Take up the shield of faith. I heard someone else put it this way. Some people say the shield is faith. But I heard it put this way. This is a shield to protect your faith.
Amen.
This shield in these days would be washed in water. And we hear washing of the water of the word in another place in the Bible. Man, it just keeps coming back to the Bible, don't it?
Amen.
This whole thing just keeps on coming back to the Bible. Have this shield of faith. If you want to be able to have the faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the devil is going to be shooting stuff at you. You are a target. You start trying to live right. You start trying to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You start trying to be baptized in Jesus' name. You start coming to church and trying to do right. What's going to happen? You are going to be a target. And man, if you ever try to do more than just come, you're going to be a target. You're going to be a target of lies. You're going to be a target of anger. You're going to be a target of just a straight up attacks of the enemy. Get the shield of faith.
Amen.
Next, you protect your mind. Your helmet is salvation. So make sure you're saved.
Amen.
You need to repent. You need to be baptized. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and live in a holy life. And finally, the last item on the agenda, it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word protects and the Word attacks. It says, a two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, I said it this way. This is all your armor. But this isn't the whole way to fight. I need a pianist. One of you two can decide amongst yourselves. Praise the Lord. It says this. This is where it wraps up, and this is where I am going to finish up your how to fight. This is how you declare to the enemy, I'm done. This is how you declare to the enemy, I'm done. Praying always. With all prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer. That's an interesting phrase to me. Praying always with all prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Here's how this works, guys. Here's how prayer is supposed to work. Always. You pray to get in touch with God. You pray for other people. You pray and let God lead you through the Spirit. There's two things that you won't make it without. There's two things that even if you pray, you're not going to make it without it. It says over and over again, the truth, the word of God. And it also says over and over again, salvation, spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you need to read your Bible. And then once you got that down, pray always. So we'll put it this way. Three things.
prayer, word, spirit, prayer, word, spirit, prayer, word, spirit. You've got a devil out to get you. And we've got to declare right now, today, I'm done, devil. I'm just done. I ain't putting up with this no more. I'm done. I'm done with the onslaught. I'm done with the attacks. I'm done with depression. I'm done with suicidal thoughts. I am done with arguments. I am done with hatred. I am done, devil. I'm done. I'm done with sexual temptation. I'm done with ungodly lusts. I am done fighting people, and I'm out for blood, devil. I'm out for your being out of here. You've got to be gone. There needs to be no more devil in this place. The devil needs to feel very uncomfortable walking through the doors of this church. It is time to be done. So here's how it works. I got to the end there. This is it. I'm done. I'm done with fighting you. I don't want to fight you anymore. We've got to declare, I'm done fighting people, and I'm ready to fight properly. We have spent far too long. We have spent far too long misidentifying our enemy. I'm here to simply say, I'm done. I'm done being mad at people. I'm done with arguments and debates. I'm ready to start fighting this war properly with all prayer and supplication for all saints, always. So somebody come forward. Let's pray. Let's get in touch with God. Let's fight the enemy. Here's how you beat the devil. Here's the key to beating the devil. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Someone needs to come up here. Someone needs to make sure they got that armor on. Someone needs to make sure that they're praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. We've got to get this prayer thing down. We got to know the word of God. We've got to be prepared to fight the enemy. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's get in touch with God. Let's make sure we're
Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break.